About 11% of Wisconsin residents are older than age 55, and that number is going to grow dramatically. A recent study by AARP Wisconsin says that presents both a problem and an opportunity. A problem because those over 55 are not saving enough for retirement, and an opportunity because AARP of Wisconsin has what's called a silver dividend proposal. To discuss that, Helen Marks Dix, State Issues Advocacy Director for AARP. I got that title right, right?
You got it right.
It always trips me up. Let's talk about the situation and your recent study, which says that there are some long-term funding questions in terms of how those plus 50 are going to be, how they're going to fare in retirement. Okay?
Okay.
So we have a bunch of stats. Thank you very much. Which do you consider stats that are most significant in terms of the current problem, Helen?
I think the statistics that show how little people have in savings are probably the most important, because with the recession and other events of the last 10 years, we have people going into retirement without the savings and without the pension plans we've had in the past. And that's going to create somewhat of a financial bind for older people.
Well, that study that you done, that you had done, one in five Wisconsin households with residents aged 55 to 64 reported no retirement savings?
No.
Zero.
Zero.
Okay. And then 3 in 10 elderly residents live under 200% of the federal poverty level?
Yes.
Okay. And Wisconsin residents risk retiring in poverty by 2030 an additional 427,000? Put that number in perspective.
Well, you know, we talk all the time. People keep telling me that we're having people turn over 65 past the great age barrier at the rate of 10,000 people a day. And so the number of older people is increasing. We're living longer. And so we are reaching the stage where in parts of the state, we're going to be the dominant part of the demographics, particularly in rural Wisconsin.
Especially in northern Wisconsin. And I want to read from your study. Is it okay if I read from AARP's
study? You can read from my study.
56% of survey respondents from Wisconsin reported they had never attempted to determine how much they need to save for retirement, point one. The same percentage, 56%, indicated they were worried about running out of money in retirement, point two. 40% of respondents said they did not have a household budget. And 92% said they only worried about the next 10 years and not beyond that. That surprises me. Does it surprise you as someone who's been in and around capital issues for a couple years?
Well, Steve, you know, in the capital, I have a hard time making people think beyond 2 years. I mean, they think
the next election cycle.
The budget cycle and the election cycle is very much how our public policy is very dominated. And for people, the average person tends to think in four-year cycles. 4 years gets your kid through high school. Mm-hmm. 4 years gets your kid through college. So we 4 years in presidential cycles. So we are not a nation of planners or long-range thinkers.
Well, okay, a couple more stats from your study. More Wisconsin residents over 65, the increase in number of Wisconsin residents over 65 by 2030, 60% increase?
Yeah.
60?
You know, you forget how big the boom is. There's two things about the boom. Number one, there's a lot of us. But number two, we have bonus years. We're living longer than our grandparents and our parents. And so not only is there a lot of us to age, but we stay aged. We stay older adults for a longer period of time than past generations. So that has a cumulative effect that we will be very dominant members of most communities within the next 15, 20 years.
And we're both boomers, so we can say this. More boomers are working longer, even though it may be part-time or full-time. That's another factor in how much you're either saving or not saving.
Well, and older boomers are working for two reasons. One is some of them need the money. And number two, there are people like us that just enjoy what they're doing and can't imagine not being out there stirring the pot a little. And so we're not quite ready to give up our place in the
waving the boomer flag. Helen Marks Dix. Okay, now let's get serious. Your study said the projected cost of caring for those over 65 in 2015, $1.2 billion.
That's right.
Okay.
If we do nothing.
Well, that's what we're spending now. No. Let's zero in.
The projected cost is that we spend about that much money now.
On the four programs, starting with Medicaid.
Yes.
That's the biggest one.
The biggest one. And then the other programs included in this were
heating and
food
I've got
share.
I've got your study, but I can't find it quickly.
Food share, I think it's food share and then homestead tax credit.
Yeah. And now That's going to grow to 4.7 billion by 2030. Why is that going to grow so dramatically, 2.5 times roughly?
Because we have a lot of people that, well, they're not in poverty now or very close to poverty. And a lot of people are assuming that Social Security gives you enough money to retire on. And that's just not true.
And you brought those stats. Let's talk about Social Security, because the number that I found from a federal website, here we go both wonking out, is that in 2016, Social Security benefits paid in Wisconsin $1.186 billion. That's the number, but you've got a number on households?
We have in our state at the current moment, we have 1,170,750 Social Security beneficiaries.
Okay.
Now, that includes some disabled workers,
it
but
sure
for
does.
The most part, that is older people or widows and widowers.
Now, our population's 5.6 or 5.7 million, so this suggests that one in five are receiving Social Security either through retirement benefits or disability.
Yes.
You know what? That's almost exactly, you and I know, the percentage of Wisconsin residents that are getting care through Medicaid. One in five.
Okay. That's correct.
But what percentage of Wisconsin residents relying on Social Security either primarily or the only source of retirement income?
The only source of retirement income, about 30% of Social Security recipients, that's what they have. And for about 50%, it makes up half of their income doing retirement. So there is a very small margin of people that just are a little above Social Security. And Social Security in this state is just a tad above actual poverty level.
Okay. Okay, wrap up the first segment, because we've been talking about the problem. Now, what do all these figures and stats that we've been talking about point to in terms of what's your takeaway from where we are now, Helen?
Well, my takeaway from where we are now is that we have a lot of people pretty hysterical about the projections into the future, and we have a lot of people who are dwelling on the negatives of aging, because these are negative figures. You got to realize that not every person aging is going to end up on a program. You've got to realize that every person that's older doesn't necessarily become a drag on society. And so rather than just having Helen temper tantrums, as you know I can have, when they talk about the silver tsunami.
I've been on the receiving end of just maybe one or two. Go ahead.
It required us to come and start thinking about how we have to change policy around aging, how we have to start thinking around aging. And just like people who have not planned for retirement, we have to start looking at government programs and budgets as a planning tool so that we don't go to the catastrophe that people are projecting. And with a little planning and a little budget work, we could actually change the whole trajectory on poverty for aging and healthiness for aging. And so it's something we need to talk about.
This is where your silver dividend campaign comes in.
Yes.
So outline the biggest changes that you would make. It's a pretty ambitious plan, but you've just explained why it's needed. What changes would silver dividend make?
Well, I have this plan, or AARP Wisconsin has this plan, that basically says if you do a certain amount of investing in seniors and senior programs and their support systems, that you could actually bend the cost trajectory on where people are going. And, you know, you can use tax policy to do it. You can use some funding aid in aiding people in retiring, savings, doing retirement savings. Mm-hmm. And so there are several things you can do that will help people become less dependent on the government programs, the taxpayer-funded programs, mm-hmm. and will make it possible to have more money to invest back into the community, into other programs.
Okay, let's talk about people over 50 that you and I know. Many of them, especially in rural Wisconsin, working one, two jobs, trying to pay that this month's bills, trying to take care of a kid maybe in college or tech college. They just have other concerns that crowd out savings. So are you talking about getting a new mindset there, or are you talking about some statutory tax incentives to get them to save?
I'm talking about both. The first thing I'm really looking at is people save better if they save in the workplace, if the savings comes right off the top of your paycheck. And so, you know, we've been big supporters of the private secure retirement plan, mm-hmm. and we're
trying. Senator Hansen's bill?
Last time it was sponsored by Senator Hansen. We're trying to get at least to a system where people in private jobs would have a mechanism to save, where the money is pooled, where it's portable wherever you go. We're hoping to get in the budget this year a feasibility study to see if that's workable, okay. Because the study shows that if people saved, if those people that are now between 50 and 55, if they saved a certain percentage of their income, it would bend the cost projections incredibly. Just having a couple of $1,000s more a year makes a huge difference in how you live and defers you going on to a lot of these programs.
Well, I want to quote from your study on just that very point. Quoting your study, if some age 50 to 55, if someone 50 to 55 saves 3% of income until they retire, and they earn 3% per year on that, they'd have between $18,400 and $39,600 more in savings when they retire. Helen, that doesn't sound like much, but what?
It keeps you off the programs.
So you're saying it would delay the time when you'd have to rely on Medicaid and all these other aid and public assistance programs.
That is correct. It would delay when you had to go on. It would give you cash money. It doesn't sound like a lot, Steve, but sometimes having cash money to put a ramp in your home, you know, for instance, delays you having to go into an institution. Having enough money to pay your house taxes mm-hmm. keeps you going in the community. And so being able to delay people for even just a year or two going on a taxpayer-supported program saves incredible amounts of money. So even giving people a small economic cushion makes an incredible difference.
Well, let's talk about the recommendations. And thank you for the information, because now we're going to pull up your some items that make up your silver dividend with a graphic. So number one, if you had savings, albeit as little as 18 to 30, 39,000, it would delay the dates the elderly would be eligible for state programs. Now, using the tax system to support aging in place. Now, there's a reference here to family caregivers. How would this work?
Well, I'm looking at, I've proposed, and you know, I haven't gotten a sponsor yet, but I'm looking at doing a family caregiver tax credit. And this would be for people who, primarily children, but people who would be willing to say, pay your Medicare sup, willing to pay for the ramp in the home, willing to pay for those medical supplies that aren't covered. Mm-hmm. And so if we encourage, right now we have 570,000 family caregivers, they're giving $7 billion worth of unpaid services, and if we could just give them some support to keep supporting their family members and friends, that would also delay people, keep them in their homes, keep them in their communities, and delay them from going into either programs sponsored by taxpayers such as family care or actually into institutions. The average family caregiver spends about $6,000 a year.
$6,000?
$6,000
that's not a Wisconsin specific number.
No, that's a national statistic number. Unless you're doing long distance caregiving, and then you're talking $12,000 a year.
Your number 570,000, is that a Wisconsin number?
That is a very specific Wisconsin number.
And they're providing $7 billion worth of services.
That's right.
Says who?
We have once again, AARP did a national study, and I can send you a copy of the study, but we have at AARP a real concern about caregivers. So they've done a lot of tracking about what caregivers are spending and also about what caregivers are doing. It's amazing how much medical that caregivers are doing in terms of wound care, giving people shots, changing all kinds of medical devices and dialysis machines. So we are really relying pretty heavily on volunteer family members. And you have to remember we're talking...
That's important. The $7 billion is volunteers. We're not talking about CNAs and
no.
paid care professionals. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, but that's true. I mean, our entire long-term care system is based on the voluntary moral obligations of family members and friends. It's incredible.
And that care strains how much you can work on the job, strains your relationship with a spouse maybe, strains your relationship with a sibling who may not be caring for that loved one as much as you are. So it's just interesting. Okay, so if you delay the time that someone is eligible for public aid because they have more savings, then they're going to be on public aid for a shorter period.
That's right.
Correct?
That is correct.
Okay, then your bottom line, which I find intriguing, if some of these changes under silver dividend were implemented, it would save $3.1 billion by 2030?
Yeah. The numbers, I have to say, when we commissioned this study to be done, I was expecting to have a figure, and I was expecting it to help support my argument that we should be doing these things.
Okay.
I never thought the figure was going to be that big.
It is a huge
figure. It's a huge figure, and when I first read the report, it just jumped out at me. And I have to say, we verified that figure to make sure we weren't reading it wrong, because it is pretty amazing, because that's a significant budgetary amount over a period of time. And there's another figure out there that says every year that you delay things ends up, if you could delay everybody 1 year, it's $966 million.
$966 million per year. Every year that you delayed, like, someone going on Medicaid, et cetera.
Well, the cohort.
The cohort.
Yeah.
Was this study done by Washington Think Tank or locally?
Locally. It's La Follette.
La Follette.
It was done through La Follette. And we did commission it. The methodology was developed in Rutgers University at New Jersey, because they're doing similar studies in other states. You know, we have reached a stage where state officials want state-specific information. Mm-hmm. And having worked for a large national organization, you know, the conglomerate figures are very impressive, but you really want to say, what does it mean to Wisconsin and why we're different and what it means to us? So we commissioned the special to have it done here in Wisconsin, and these are very Wisconsin-specific plans.
The heart of silver dividend is this. How do you get someone in their 50s, maybe struggling to get the kid through tech college or the UW tuition, how do you get them to save the 3% mentioned in your study?
Well, I think one of the things we have to talk about differently than we've talked about in the past is we need to talk about aging differently. We need to talk about your need for finances. We need to talk about the opportunities and the difference of the way that you're going to live if you actually do some savings. We have to talk as a whole about how people value those 20 extra bonus years that we're getting in our lives mm-hmm. these days and what it means financially. We also have to talk about, you know, older people sometimes don't want to spend money because they want to save it for their kids. And I think we need to talk about being a little more responsible. May look hard on your kids now, but in the long run is a great savings for the next generation. We also have to talk about, you know, we talked here about money, but there's a huge wealth of knowledge and leadership and experience that we're not using because of our bias against older people. And if we could change that and let people contribute, I mean, often the old is going to be the older people taking care of older people. And so we have huge resources out there that we haven't thought of because we have such a negative mission around or image around aging. So we have to change both policy-wise how we view aging. We have to change how we as a society see aging. And then there's all kinds of little things that communities can do. We have AARP has a livable community program, which talks about age-friendly communities, because the longer we keep people in the community, the better off we are. But it takes just not the family caregiver. It takes the community's attitudes. It takes the restaurants willing to do reduced choices menus. It takes all kinds of things, but it can be done. And that we have to do it now and not when the big numbers start hitting the small communities.
Well, you mentioned one of the ways to do it is through changes in our tax laws. The only thing I've heard you mention, though, is a tax break for a family caregiver. What are some other tax reforms that are out there that AARP is interested in discussing? Anything else?
Well, you know, there's a Family Medical Leave Act insurance program that's mm-hmm. looking here. I have an interest in that because it would help pay for some of the caregiving. One in four workers has some caregiving responsibilities, and a program like that would help caregivers be able to do things that way. I think having better deductions for, you know, I'm starting the family caregiver tax credit, but I think there are other things that are similar to that that could, you know, perhaps programs that would help with home modifications, making home modifications for medical reasons deductible, making the medical deduction not so hard to reach, so that you could use tax policy to encourage savings. I mean, I remember a time that, you know, there were certain things that were tax deductible, you know.
Like interest on credit cards, things like that.
So, I mean, if you sit down, I'm not a tax guru, but if you sit down and think about it and your goal is to make it easier for older people. Another thing I've seen in other states, and I'm not quite sure how this works, but in some states, they have this thing where older people can volunteer for a municipality or a community and do community service, and they take it, they don't pay them, but they take it off their property tax bill. So they give you the value of your community commitment in that. And so people who are cash poor might be able to have the skills and ability to do something that reduces their property tax bill.
But you don't have that specific plan.
I don't have that in front of me, no.
Senator Hansen did introduce this. What's the name of this program? The Forced Retirement Program?
No. It's called the Wisconsin Private Secure Retirement Program. And when he introduced it, we got as far as a hearing. And it didn't get further than that. But I am optimistic that maybe we can talk about getting at least the feasibility. We have extraordinary knowledge about how to run good pension plans and retirement systems here in Wisconsin. We're an expert in it. So we should take our skills and design a good program.
Some states are actually moving ahead with these retirement plans, aren't they? California?
California is moving ahead.
And you have to check, in other words, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't California say, we will set aside 3% of your income unless you check off not to? So it's kind of, we will, unless you take action to.
Some programs are opt-in programs and some programs are opt-out programs. We, of course, think that the person should have a choice, but I like opt-out programs because it's so much easier. And you know, how many times when a young person joins a job or has a benefit, they just don't pay that much attention. It takes you a while to realize how important those little bits of savings you put aside when you're younger or how they accumulate over time.
Explain your terms. When you say opt-out, does that mean you'd automatically be in unless you...
You'd automatically be in unless there was some kind of election to leave the program.
Now, some of the stats in your study surprised me, but here's my question. How do you get Wisconsin residents that are 50-plus to understand that by not saving enough and by not even having a budget and only worrying about the next 10 years, how do you change their habits?
Well, I think it's not only changing the habits of older people, but I think it's changing the habits of people in general. You know, we really live in a society where we believe in credit, and so budgeting for anybody is not a big deal. We have a very financially illiterate society as a whole, where people don't understand compounding interest and don't understand the value of a little savings now and how it pays off. We're not much in planners. We are a culture that reacts to things. So we really need to have discussions not only with policymakers, but do an educational campaign and just make people start thinking about how they can take control of their own future with planning.
Go back to that stat. 1 in 5 households with residents ages 55 to 64 reported no retirement savings. Yeah. What do you... We're within 7 weeks of the budget being on Governor Walker's desk. What are you trying to get into this budget?
Well, one of the things we're trying to get two things in that will affect this. One is the dementia care specialists, because they help the communities, help people stay, and make it easier for caregivers to keep people in the community.
And the governor's budget zeroes how many dementia specialists?
There were 19 dementia care specialists. They have been zeroed out. We're optimistic that the program will be refunded. We're hoping to expand statewide.
Okay.
So we've worked on that.
So you want 19 plus funding?
Yes, we want so that doesn't matter where you live in Wisconsin, you would have access to a dementia care specialist. And that's particularly important for law enforcement, too, because people don't understand how to deal with some of the emotional and the acting out behaviors that sometimes accompany the Alzheimer's patients.
Does the governor's budget give any reason for zeroing out the 19?
Well, no, but I heard Secretary Seemeyer say that they were basically told to send over kind of a flat budget, and so, you know, there wasn't really any room. The department does not seem to be objecting and has said some positive things about the value of the program. So I'm optimistic on that. The second thing we're trying to do is get in the idea of at least doing the feasibility study to see if we part of Senator Hansen's the private secure retirement plan, to see if we couldn't at least get the feasibility study to be done so it stops being theoretically and we either say, yes, we can do it or no, we can't do it.
Well, okay, while we're talking about Medicaid, which is a huge source of help for Wisconsin seniors, I've got to ask you, AARP, National Organization, what does the House passed replacement for Obamacare do generally to Medicaid?
It does not do good things to Medicaid.
And because it puts a dollar sign? Or puts a limit on it? Excuse me?
Well, partially that, but you know, there's a lot more wrong with the American Health Care Act, as they call it right now, for seniors than just the Medicaid part of it. I mean, there's the age tax on it. There's the fact that
that's
it undermines...
up to 5 times?
Up to 5 times.
But that's at the state's discretion, right? That older people with pre-existing conditions can be charged 5 times the premium of a 21-year-old healthy person? Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're merging two things.
Thank you, because you're going to fix it.
Age tax is just based on your age, I can charge you 5 times more. Pre-existing...
With state approval, correct?
With state approval.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Pre-existing, and really it's not state approval so much as insurance company approval. It's the pre-existing condition that needs state approval. And the pre-existing condition, there isn't a limit on how much more. It's whatever the insurance companies want to do. And, you know, we used to have a reasonably good, in fact, one of the best in the nation, high-risk pools here in Wisconsin. But unfortunately, we did away with that. And even when it was the best in the nation, it was still with a lot of challenges and a lot of problems that it didn't work well for everybody.
But Speaker Ryan at the Republican State Convention last weekend, which I covered, again referred to Wisconsin's HRSP, Health Insurance Risk Sharing Program, that may come back. Does AARP support a return to HRSP? Or?
Well, you know, we're not supporting the national
health
plan.
Yeah.
We're just not supporting that. I think we're going to take this step by step. We're going to see what happens in the Senate. We're going to see what actually comes out of a jointly passed by both houses mm-hmm. before we start parsing down what we're going to do at the state level. It's our hope that cooler heads might prevail in Washington and that some of the things that are on the table now will just disappear because it really is very bad for older people.
What does the House passed Health Care Act? Is that
the American Health Care Act.
Yeah, I'm getting confused. What would it do for Wisconsin's Medicaid program, which you and I have heard called one of the most generous in the nation?
Well, it can do several things. If it should pass it, if that should be the final way it passes, they first have to decide how to fund it. And in deciding how to fund it, they have to decide whether they're going to fund it on a per capita basis or whether they're going to fund it on a block grant basis.
Yes.
And then within those, they're going to have to, even if you do a block grant, you have to say what the states must do and what the states can do. We have been, I have to say, regardless of the administration in power, Wisconsin has been very good about using waivers in their Medicaid program. So we don't gain any flexibility in any of these programs. What we do is we end up with a financial cap. Now, I know people think per cap is better. You know, the per capita charge is better, but even...
Better than the block grant.
Better than the block grant because it would be... it could adjust when there's more unemployment and there's a problem. On the other hand, they're talking about giving differentiating amounts to different groups. So how much are they going to give to the elderly? How much are they going to give to the disabled? How much are they going to give to children? And what are they going to be required to cover? And who are they going to be required to cover? I would say the only strong position AARP has on the state part of the program is, boy, if they're going to make any of those changes, we want to be at the table with the other stakeholders, and we want to have a say in how it's done.
Okay, let's bring it back. Final question. What's your advice to someone 50-plus watching this show who hadn't thought about qualifying for public aid and how much they may or may not have in retirement? What advice would you give, she or he?
I would just say put a little money aside every week, every month, and don't think about it. Let it be there. If you can get into a pooled arrangement through a pension plan or through something like that where you're pooling who handles your money, you're better off than if you're just sticking it in a savings account or an IRA. But the idea is you got to start savings because it's going to be your independence as you grow older.
And if they wanted to read the Silver Dividend Plan, is it on your website?
It most certainly is.
And what's the website?
The website is aarp.org/WI.
Right. Okay. Helen Marks Dix, thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve.
It's all about the silver dividend potential, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.